Good morning. It's 9:03. I want to call to order the Dallas City Council agenda meeting for November 7th, 2011. Good morning, all. And it is my pleasure to introduce Minister Gordon Dabbs with Preston Crest Church of Christ. Gordon and his wife began their work with Preston Crest Church in early 2009 after 10 years of working as missionaries in Brazil. Gordon, graduate of Oklahoma Christian University, has a PhD in philosophy from the OU and a master's from OU as well and from Lubbock Christian University. In addition to leading Preston Crest Church, Minister Dabbs works as part of the University of Oklahoma's Heartland Think Tank for Bipartisanship and Religion, along with a panel of distinguished Christian, Jewish, Islamic clergy and scholars. He has published articles on business leadership and spiritual transformation. Thank you, Minister Dabbs, for joining us this morning and kicking off this meeting with an invocation. Thank you.
Let's pray.
Holy God, we come before you this morning, and we thank you for waking us up this morning and bringing us together, Father. We thank you this morning for the ways that you have blessed and prospered this city, Father. We pray that you will continue to do so. God, we ask especially your protection and your wisdom for the group of people who have been elected to serve this city. And those here this morning, those who protect us as police and fire, as teachers, Father, all of those who serve this city, God. We ask your special blessing upon those who live on the margins of our society, Father, the poor, the disadvantaged. We pray for the elderly, God. We pray that you will protect and that you will give wisdom to those in positions of power and authority that decisions might be made that will advance their cause and protect them and bring justice to them, Father. We pray all this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Mr. Atkins?
I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. And your school fact of the day is that DISD graduating class in 2011 had 50% of them go on to college and enroll in college, which I think is a nice number, and up from 4 years ago, 40%. So making progress in that area, I think that was great. Ms. Rios, we want to move to our open microphone speakers.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. We're going to begin your morning speakers with Carlos Maroquin and followed by Betty Colbreth. I will first recite the speaker guidelines. Citizens and other visitors attending the meeting of the City Council shall observe the same rules of propriety, decorum, and good conduct applicable to members of the City Council. Any persons making personal, impertinent, profane, or slanderous remarks who become boisterous while addressing the City Council or while attending the City Council meeting shall be removed from the room if the Sergeant-at-Arms is so directed by the presiding officer, and the person shall be barred from further audience before the City Council during that session of the City Council. You are allowed 3 minutes to speak. When your time is up, please stop speaking and allow the next individual their turn. Please address your comments to Mayor Rawlings. Again, your first speaker is Carlos Maroquin. If you'll please state your name and address for the record.
Yes, Carlos Maroquin, 5106 Cedar Springs, Dallas, Texas, 75235. Well, good morning, Mayor,
good morning.
Council, and City Manager. I represent city employees that belong to SEIU Texas Local 5. From those who work out in the field to people that are working in the office, SEIU is committed to give its members a voice in the workplace. We're committed to represent our employees in disciplinary hearings, and we're committed to work with City Council and City Management to better their lives inside the workplace. I'm here today because our members feel that the city has not put them on top of the city's priority list. Giving back and working hard to give employees 4 mandatory city leave days, it's a move in the right direction. I commend you for it, but it's not enough. I am here to ask you to put the city employees first. Let's begin a conversation for the 2012-2013 budget today. Here's our position for the next fiscal year. return the 2% that was taken away for employees making more than $30,000. Number two, give back the remaining 4 mandatory sick leave days to all employees. And number three, offer better health insurance for the employees of the city of Dallas. Most of our members can afford it. I encourage council and city management to invest in our employees, from the city workers that work out on the field to all those that work on a desk. All the employees need to be invested in. City employees are an investment to our city because the majority of them live in Dallas. The more they have to spend, the more they will spend in our city. The better they are protected with good insurance, the better they will perform. The better they will perform, the morale will soar. It is time to put the City of Dallas employees first. It is time to put the City of Dallas employees first. Because settling for anything less is unacceptable. Thank you.
Thank you. Your next speaker is
Thank
Betty.
You, Ms. Markman. Thank you.
Next speaker is Betty Colbert. Betty Colbert, not present. That concludes your speakers this morning, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Ms. Rios. I will entertain a motion to approve minutes. We have a motion and a second.
To clarify, those would be the minutes for October 26th.
Excuse me, I'm sorry. Mr. Atkins, before we entertain that
motion. Okay. The speaker, Mr. Carlos, just came down, and in our belief, he made a couple of statements. And I know we heard a statement he said. He said that put our city employees first. And I believe the city manager, you know, responded to that. I think the city of Dallas employees should be first because that's who we work for. That's who the taxpayer has done. And you have my word, and I think, Mr. Colley, we believe the city employee is first. And I'd like to thank Mayor Mike for the Halloween deal you did for the city employees. We're looking out for them. But we at the city council, you are the first line. You know, they see you first, and long on here, you will be considered the first. Thank you.
Thank you. It was my dressing up as Rowdy that inspired the Cowboys yesterday. So. Thank you. Thank you, Carlos. I will now, we had a motion and a second on the minutes. Any edits, comments? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried. Let's move to the consent agenda.
Thank you. On your consent agenda, there has been an update since last night's distribution of the pulled items list. There will be no pulled items on the regular consent agenda. Therefore, you will be considering for your approval agenda items number 2 through 54 and addendum items number 1 through 7 for your consideration this morning.
No, I have discussion.
Okay, Ms. Cadane, and who seconded? Michelle. And Ms. Medrano, who's got the mic.
Thank you, Mayor. On addendum number item number 3, I wish to defer this. There is some continuing talks, and Ms. Hunt was, I think she was a little too late on Friday to have this deferred, so she gave me a call, unable to be here at the meeting today, so I'd like to defer addendum item number 3 until December the 14th. Is that okay? Okay.
Do we have a friendly amendment? Do you accept that, Mr. Cadane? Okay. Okay. All right. So we have a motion to approve consent agenda with the deferment of item number 3
on the addendum.
Until
December 14th.
Got that, Ms. Rios?
Yes. Thank
okay.
you, Mr. Mayor.
Any other discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Thank you. We proceed now to item number 55. If I may please, Mayor, I'm still waiting for the updated list for boards and commissions. If we could please wait on item number 55. Item number 56 is authorized approval of the City of Dallas 401k Retirement Savings Plan as amended and restated effective November 7, 2011.
Do we have a motion for approve? Okay.
I'm sorry, if you clarify who made the motion?
Ms. Margolin. And Oh, I'm sorry.
Thank you.
Ms. Hasso. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Item number 57 is authorized approval of the 457 Deferred Compensation Plan for City Employees of the City of Dallas as amended and restated effective November 7, 2011.
Ms. Davis, Ms. Atkins, any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Item number 58 is authorized approval of the City of Dallas 457 Deferred Compensation Plan for part-time seasonal temporary employees and city council members as amended and restated effective November 7, 2011.
Second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Thank you. Item number 59 requires a motion that the City Council of the City of Dallas adopt the item and authorize the use of the power of eminent domain to acquire a tract of land containing approximately 66,463 square feet of land located in Dallas County and more fully described in Exhibit A of the proposed written resolution for this item for the Southwest 120 and 96-inch water transmission pipeline project. Is there a motion?
Yes. Item 59 requires a motion that the Council of the City of Dallas adopt the item authorized to use of power of eminent domain to acquire the tract of land containing approximately 66,463 square feet of land located in Dallas County and more further described in Exhibit A. A proposed written resolution by this item by the Southwest 120 and 96 inch water transfer pipeline project. I move it.
Mr. Cadane?
Yeah, Mr. Mayor, who individual owns this land?
Virtually.
Good morning, sir. Yes, we have, and the property owner is in agreement with selling the property. However, there's some title issues, so we'll take it through condemnation to clear the title.
That's the reason. He's in agreement with the pricing and everything?
Yes, sir.
It's a title issue.
Thank you.
Title.
Ms. Coop was the second.
Yeah.
Had a question. Any other comments, questions? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried. Excuse me.
Got the record vote.
Okay.
If you'll excuse me a moment, let me set up for that, please. So go ahead, please start voting. All have voted on the motion. Voting in favor, Council Members Margolin, Hasso, Caraway, Allen, Coop, Rawlings, Alonzo, Medrano, Grayson, Griggs, Cadane, Atkins, and Hill. We have Councilmember Hunt is absent at this time. Carolyn Davis, Councilmember Davis, is absent when vote taken. Motion passes.
Thank you.
We proceed now to item number 60. There is a statement. The following statement will apply to items number 60 and addendum items number 9, 10, and 11. By making and seconding this motion, the council members represent they have undertaken sufficient examination and involvement beyond reviewing the agenda materials to be knowledgeable of both the facts and the circumstances of the case and to be able to develop an opinion based on such an examination of the various factors and issues involved. Item number 60 is authorized the nomination of Mary Kay Inc., located at 1330 Regal Row and 2213 Connector Drive, to receive designation as an enterprise project under the Texas Enterprise Zone Act as amended, Government Code Chapter 2303, to the Office of the Governor, Economic Development and Tourism through the Economic Development Bank. This item again does require 2 seconds.
Thank you, Mr. Atkins. We had a motion. Okay. Okay, Mr. and Mrs. Alonzo's motion. Mr. Atkins? Okay, there we go. Any other discussion? Questions? All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Thank you. We proceed now to addendum item number 8. It's a resolution designating absences by Councilmember Angela Hunt as being for official city business.
Do we have a motion, Mr. Atkins and Mr. Cadane? Any questions? All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Addendum item number 9, again, does require 2 seconds. Authorize number 1, a resolution in support of the Texas Department of Housing and Community Affairs, 4% low-income housing tax credit allocation for the Buckeye Trail Commons located at 6707 Buckeye Commons Way for the new construction of the proposed 207-unit multifamily residential development for families and seniors. And number 2, the issuance of tax-exempt multifamily housing mortgage revenue bond series 2011 by the Dallas Housing Authority as Housing Options, Inc. in an amount not to exceed $15 million to finance the construction of Buckeye Trail Commons.
Entertain the motion. Mr. Caraway, Mr. Atkins, and Ms. Hasso. Second, did you, who said second? Ms. Elbert. Okay. Any questions, discussions? All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Addendum item number 10 does require 2 seconds. Authorize number 1, a resolution in support of the Texas Department of Housing Community Affairs, 4% low-income housing tax credit allocation for Buckeye Trail Commons 2, located at 6717 Bear Street, for the new construction of the proposed 116-unit multifamily residential development for families. And number 2, the issuance of tax-exempt multifamily housing mortgage revenue bond series 2011 by the Dallas Housing Authority in an amount not to exceed $10 million to finance the construction of Buckeye Trail Commons 2.
We have a motion in 2 seconds. Any discussion? Questions? All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Addendum item number 11 requires 2 seconds. We do have one individual funder to speak on that item. Authorize number 1, a public hearing to be held on December 14, 2011, to receive comments on the proposed City of Dallas submission of an application to the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development for a community development block grant, Section 108 Guarantee Loan Program, loan in an amount not to exceed $4,800,000 for eligible activities, which may include acquisition, demolition of existing buildings, site work, and public improvements, relocation assistance, loan interest reserve, and financing costs related to the public offering to a Chicory Court LP in the development of Champion Homes at Copper Ridge Multifamily Residential Project for mixed-income families located at 5522 Maple Avenue, including construction of 252 apartment units with 153 units deed restricted for 15 years for persons with incomes at 80% or less of area median family income as established by HUD, and at the close of the public hearing, number 2, consideration of submission of an application to HUD for a CDBG Section 108 Guarantee Loan Program loan to aid Chicory Court the 9th LP in the amount not to exceed $4,800,000. Your speaker is Melissa Adamy.
Melissa Adamy, 6006 Burgundy, Dallas, Texas. I'm here to simply thank the Council and City of Dallas for allowing us to help you put your TIF funds to work in affordable housing on the transit lines, and we look forward to working with you all to complete this project successfully, and I'm here if you have any questions as well. Thank you.
Thank you. There are no further speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion.
Mayor?
Yes.
Would like to...
Thank you, Mayor. I'd like to move to approve this. This is, Council, this is a... it neighbors the medical district. It is right by the Green Line station. It is a green building initiative. It is designed to leave silver standards, and without the tax credits, I don't think this property could do the affordable housing piece. But it is adjacent to the station there at Inwood and Denton Drive, so I move to approve.
Okay. Second, do we need another second? Michelle? Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Thank you. On item number 55, boards and commissions, there are no appointees this morning, Mr. Mayor. And that concludes your items this morning.
Thank you. We will go into recess till 1 o'clock when we will have public hearings and related actions.
Recess at 9:23.
Thank you.
That's pretty good. Mayor,
we will begin talking our public hearings and related actions. Ms. Rios.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. We're going to begin your zoning consent agenda item, which will consist of items 61 through 69. However, Councilmember Grayson has pulled item number 65, and item number 66 is to be pulled by Councilmember Griggs. We do have one speaker signed up for item number 63. That speaker will be called at the time the zoning consent agenda items are read into the record. Your agenda item number 61 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting the creation of a new sub-area within the sub-area A portion of Planned Development District number 134 on property at the west corner of Grandview Avenue and Lindsley Avenue. Item number 62 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a specific use permit for a dance hall on property zoned a GR General Retail Sub-District within Planned Development District number 193, the Oaklawn Special Purpose District, on the southwest line of Cedar Springs Road east of Regan Street. Item number 63 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a specific use permit for a private school on property zoned in R-7.5A Single Family District on the east corner of Bonneview Road and Arrow Road. Item number 64 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting an amendment to the development plan for Planned Development District number 103 for church uses on the east side of Pastor Bailey Drive, north of Camp Wisdom Road. Item number 67 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a specific use permit for the sale of alcoholic beverages in conjunction with a general merchandise or food store use of less than 3,500 square feet on property zoned a CRD1 Community Retail District with a D1 liquor control overlay on the northeast corner of Lake June Road and North June Miller Road. Item number 68 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a specific use permit for a bar, lounge, or tavern on property within the Tract A portion of Planned Development District number 269, the Deep Elm Near East Side Special Purpose District, on the south line of Elm Street west of Malcolm X Boulevard. Item number 69 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a renewal of specific use permit number 1784 for a bar, lounge, or tavern on property zoned Planned Development District number 269, the Deep Elm Near East Side Special Purpose District, on the south side of Elm Street west of Crowder Street. Thank you. Again, we do have one individual signed up to speak on item number 63, Paul Blocker Jr. If you'll please step up to the podium, individuals are allowed 3 minutes to speak. I will call the remaining of the speakers. Please address your comments to Mayor Rawlings.
Good afternoon, Mayor Rawlings and members of the Council of the City of Dallas. My name is Paul Blocker, Jr. I am a parent with a student at the school that's the object of Consent Agenda 63. Not only am I a parent, but I'm also on the school board as well as an alumnus of the school. The school has been a part of the community for well over 30 years, and it's a part of my life, my family's life, for nearly as long. I want to thank you all for taking the time to consider this matter. I see that it's been recommended. It's a recommendation of staff and the CPC. So I really appreciate you taking the time, effort, and energy to look into this matter and move forward with altering the certificate of occupancy with regard to the property that is located at 1600 Bonneview Road. Thank you.
Thank you.
Are there any other individuals in the audience that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve the items? Any speakers in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve? Are there any speakers in favor of the CPC recommendation to approve the item? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I will entertain a motion for approval. We have a second. We have a motion and a second of the consent agenda as read by the city secretary. Any other further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Thank you. Item number 65 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting an amendment to Plan Development District Number 469 for a private school on the east line of Preston Road, southeast of the St. Louis and Southwestern Railroad.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 379 notices to property owners within 500 feet of their request. We received 15 replies in favor and 7 replies in opposition.
Thank you.
Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve the item? Any speakers in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve? Any speakers in favor of the CPC recommendation to approve? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I'll entertain motion. Mr. Grayson.
Thank you, Mayor. At this time, I would like to move that we hold this item under advisement until December 14th with the public hearing open. There's been a last-minute question that's come up that needs a little bit more time to review.
We've got Mr. Atkins seconded. Any other discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Thank you.
Item number 66 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a specific use permit for a financial institution with drive-in window and a resolution accepting an amendment to the deed restrictions on property zoned in LO-3 Limited Office District on the northeast corner of West Illinois Avenue and South Vernon Avenue.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 33 notices to property owners within 300 feet of the area of request. We received 2 replies in favor and 1 reply in opposition. However, at this time, we have yet to receive the deed restrictions that have been volunteered by the applicant, so we're recommending that this case be held over until December 14th.
Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak in opposition of the CPC recommendation to approve the item? Any speakers in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve? Are there any speakers in favor of the CPC recommendation to approve the item? Any speakers in favor? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion. Mr. Griggs.
Thank you, Mayor. I move that we hold this item under advisement until December 14th and hold the public hearing open to give the applicant time to complete their submission.
Thank you. Do we have a second?
Mr.
Cadane.
Thank you. Hey, David. Could I ask you a question, please? Is there not a way that this could go ahead and be approved with on a contingency basis that they come in with the deed restrictions?
The option would be to close the public hearing and approve it with the ordinance and the resolution authorizing the deed restrictions to come back at a future date.
So it would be a done deal at that point?
Well, it could be. This just allows, if there's something should change, it allows the applicant to have another opportunity to tweak things at a public hearing.
Makes it cleaner to do it this way.
Yes, sir. Okay.
Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Cadane. Any other questions or comments? So we have a motion for deferment and a second. Any other discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Item number 70 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting an R-7.5A single-family district on property zoned a CR Community Retail District on the south side of Walnut Hill Lane, west of Adelia Road.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 84 notices to property owners within 200 feet of the area of request, received 32 replies in favor and 2 replies in opposition.
Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve the item? Are there any speakers in favor of the CPC recommendation to approve? Sir, if you will please state your name and address for the record.
Gary Knight, 5400 Renaissance Tower, Dallas, representing the property owner. We're in favor, obviously, and here to answer any questions.
Are there any other individuals in the audience that would like to speak in favor of the CPC recommendation to approve? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion. Mr. Allen,
Yeah, this is a good day for District 10. 17 new homes are going to go up in the district as a result of this. Good partnership with the city and with the developer, which we're just extremely thankful. It's a game changer, this new development coming in. So I proudly ask my council members to go along with me on this. That is a motion.
Second. There's lots of seconds. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried. Hey, Ms. Reyes, before we move on, I just want to make sure we prepare anything. Could I see a show of hands for anyone speaking on item number 75? All right. So we got a manageable group. Okay.
Thank you. Item number 71 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a specific use permit for the sale of alcoholic beverages in conjunction with a general merchandise or food store use of less than 3,500 square feet on property zoned a CRD1 community retail district with a D1 liquor control overlay on the southwest corner of the intersection of Military Parkway and Elva Avenue.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 23 notices to property owners within 200 feet of their request, received 2 replies in favor and 3 replies in opposition.
Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve the item? Any speakers in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve? Any speakers in favor of the CPC recommendation to approve? Sir, if you'll please state your name and address for the record.
My name is Parvez Malik. I represent the applicant on this case, Z11163. If there's any questions, I'm available for all the questions. Thanks.
Thank you.
And I've got a couple of pieces of that I need to circulate around the council member for their review.
Are there any other speakers that would like to speak in favor of the CPC recommendation to approve?
My name's Santos Hernandez. I live at 7055 Woodard Avenue, and I'm for it.
Are there any other speakers in favor of the CPC recommendation to approve?
Yes, my name is Reverend James Thomas, and I live at 7034 Wolfer, and I am in favor of it. Thank you.
My name is Jitendra. Actually, I support this.
Okay. Are there any other speakers in favor of the CPC recommendation to approve? No further speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion. Ms. Davis.
I will not be supporting this item. There was a neighborhood meeting that I went to in that area, and the neighborhood is totally against this D1 overlay coming into that area, so I will not be supporting this motion.
Mr. Mayor, can I have a few words on that, please?
No. Thank you. So your motion is what?
I need for staff, David Cossum, to come to the mic and tell me what I need to do, but I would not be supporting this motion.
Certainly at this time it would be appropriate either to make any motion, certainly a motion for denial is in order.
What's the number? So I move to, I am not in favor of this particular item on this particular agenda item. And David, what is the
item number? 71, case Z101-163. And our understanding of the motion is for denial.
Okay, thank you.
So Ms. Davis has moved to deny item number 71. Do we have a second? All right. Ms. Medrano has seconded. We have discussion. So all in favor of the motion to deny, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
We proceed now with several agenda items that require 2 seconds. I will read the following statement into the record. By making and seconding this motion, the council members represent they have undertaken sufficient examination and involvement beyond reviewing the agenda materials to be knowledgeable of both the facts and the circumstances of the case and to be able to develop an opinion based on such an examination of the various factors and issues involved. That statement does apply to items number 73, 74, and 75. Item number 73 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting an amendment to Subdistrict 2C within Plan Development District number 714, the West Commerce Street, Fort Worth Avenue Special Purpose District, on property on the west side of Malone Drive at the terminus of Folsom Street. Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve the item? Any speakers in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve? Are there any speakers in favor of the CPC recommendation to approve the item? No speakers, Mr. Mayor. Oh, well, I'm sorry. Excuse me, there is a gentleman coming forward. Sir, if you will please state your name and address for the record.
My name is Monty Anderson, 901 Fort Worth Avenue, and I am the applicant. And I'm here today to ask for your approval on this per the CPC recommendation. And the reason that we're having to ask for these in the first place is because we're trying to save a historic house. It currently sits next to the Belmont Hotel. And to save that house, we need these couple of modifications that we're asking for. The main one is a setback. And originally when we did the zoning over there, this had approval for a four-story condominium project. And we're only going to be building a one-story building, so that's why we're asking for this modification. And I've got some drawings and stuff, but if there's anything else you need or want to ask me, I can answer.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Are there any other speakers that would like to speak in favor of the CPC recommendation to approve? No speakers, Mr. Mayor. This item does require 2 seconds.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion, Ms. Alonzo.
Thank you, Mayor. I want to close the public hearing, excuse me, and I will move for approval on this item.
Second.
Thank you. We have a second. Mr. Griggs.
Well, thank you. I'd just like to make a couple remarks. This is in the Fort Worth Avenue corridor, and this is adjacent to the Belmont Hotel, so this is part of the revitalization of this area. And this is a great project because Monty Anderson and the group involved, they are taking a historic building, the old Churchill House, which is close to 100 years old, and they're going to be able to adaptively reuse it, partly as a photography studio and other uses. So this is great. It will maintain the character of the area and continue the economic development in that great corner of West Dallas. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Griggs. We have a motion and a second. Any other discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Item number 74 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting an NOA neighborhood office district and a resolution accepting deed restrictions volunteered by the applicant on property zoned in R-7.5A single family district on the south side of Lake June Road west of Ladonia Place.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 13 notices to property owners within 200 feet of their request. We received 5 replies in favor of the request and 1 reply in opposition. However, due to the opposition of owners of more than 20% of the land area within 200 feet of the area of request, a favorable vote of 3/4 of council is required.
Thank you. This item will also require 2 seconds. Are there any other individuals in the audience that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve? Any speakers in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve? Any speakers in favor of the CPC recommendation to approve the item? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion. Ms. Hill.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Is the applicant present in the audience? Mr. Mayor and Council, I'm going to move to hold this item under advisement. The item has come to the City Council from the CPC on an extremely divided vote. My commissioner voted not to approve this, although it came with the recommendation to approve. And I want to do some further research, including some further conversation with the applicant. Therefore, I move to hold this item under advisement with the public hearing held open until December the 14th, 2011.
Second. Second. Other discussion? Questions? All in favor of the deferment say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Thank you. For the record, item number 72 was pulled and will not be discussed today. Item number 75 is a public hearing for a specific use permit for an 8 hours establishment limited to a commercial amusement inside for a bowling alley on property zoned plan development district number 842 for a CR community retail district uses on property bounded by Greenville Avenue, Lewis Street, Hope Street, and La Vista Court.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 60 notices to property owners for insurance fee of their request. We received 22 replies in favor and 9 replies in opposition. However, due to denial by the City Plan Commission, it will require the favor vote of 3/4 of City Council to approve this.
Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation to deny the item? Again, the CPC recommendation is to deny the item. Are there any individuals in opposition to that recommendation? Please state your name and address for the record.
My name is Susan Reese. I live at 8626 Douglas Avenue. I'm not sure what that time is.
You've got 3 minutes.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Okay. First of all, lots to cover. Brief history. The first commercial property we ever owned was on Lower Greenville Avenue. We've owned property there, this particular property, for over 30 years. We're very familiar with how SUP situations work as we worked on the one in Deep Ellum to handle the problems that were here. Last year, I stood before the council and supported the SUP for Lower Greenville, but I also expressed my trepidation at the time. I had a lot of concern that I was being asked to give up property rights in order to do what was right for the neighborhood, as the city claimed to have no other vehicle for closing the operators who were causing problems. I put my properties and my tenants in jeopardy of losing their rights to operate their businesses after midnight, as they could by right do anywhere else in Dallas. This building has been vacant for 5 years. We have vetted potential tenants from pawn shops, live music venues, and a teen club, all of which could operate now without an SUP with a much larger capacity. We have not leased to these uses because we thought that Brooks' concept was so much more compatible and hence better for the neighborhood. We've been working on this concept of a boutique bowling alley, restaurant, and lounge for over a year. And while it's a wonderful hip concept at the gateway to the new Greenville Avenue, the concept also has the added benefit of daytime use, which was one of the goals for the SGP process, and the reduction in the intensity of use, gone down from somewhere between 800 plus down to 436 with the SGP. We have met with the neighborhood 6 times and have addressed their concerns, which we can detail in a minute. And so let's do the presentation, John.
You want to do the video first?
Yeah, no, let's do the presentation because we're going to.
Sorry, we got a presentation.
Is a minute all I have total?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Or should we have somebody else do the presentation then, Suzanne?
No. Can someone else have that minute, that 2 minutes, to do the presentation? I'll go ahead and finish my minute, and then you can do this part. I also wanted to point out that we have over 75 letters from the neighborhood of people who support the concept. You'll also see the map that shows the support, which is 3-1 in favor. The main points, I think, for you to consider are that this concept lowers the intensity of use substantially because you have to put the bowling alleys in. We've agreed to leave them in place. It's part of the SUP. So if someone comes in and the bowling alleys aren't there, then you shut us down, period, that minute. It's not a flexible thing that can be one thing one day and one thing the next. These are bowling alley space. I think that we have the parking. Staff agrees that we have the parking. We've met with the neighbors, and we have conceded and made compromises in, I believe it's 6 out of the 8 things that they recommended. We've addressed Ms. Pedrano's concern about the capacity. We met with the building inspector and the fire marshal and went through and actually detailed how this would look with the bowling alleys in place and shown how it reduces the occupancy, and agreed to put security on the parking lots during the hours when the business lets out.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Are there any other individuals that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation?
Yeah, and I have a video I'd like to show, so I'm not sure. We tested it this morning, and I know it works. I'm just not sure exactly if you guys really have to do something or not.
Sir, if you'll please state your name and address for the record.
Sure. John Hetzel. Residential address is 7002 Vivian Avenue. And I'm just going to show the video.
An exciting new restaurant concept that includes bowling and games is a welcome new neighbor for Allison Abel and her baby. They live just steps away from the proposed new project.
I think that's wonderful. It gives us more recreation that we can do right here in the neighborhood.
This location sits at the gateway to the new Greenville Avenue. With a planned $1.5 million investment, the building will be transformed. The bottom floor will be dominated by six regulation-sized bowling lanes with an adjacent restaurant. Both will be open during the day for lunch, introducing a new amenity and a daytime use on Lower Greenville.
We live a couple of blocks up here off Greenville Avenue, and we're excited about the project. It's going to allow my daughters to have a place to go and have an afternoon lunch and bowl a little bit, which I think is great. In the evening, my husband and I can come here and have dinner, and we're looking forward to that and having a little bit of entertainment with our dinner.
The upstairs mezzanine restaurant allows diners to overlook the bowling going on below, while on the other side of the rails, billiards and games will consume most of this 15-foot space.
I live a block behind Greenville Avenue and behind the proposed bowling alley, and it's going to be cool to be able to walk to something to do. You know, we've got a fantastic amenity, a block away from our houses.
Jared Reed lives directly behind the proposed project. As a realtor, he believes this new concept will boost his property value. And as a neighbor, he knows it will become a community asset.
It really boils down to a quality of life for us and for me. And that's what I'm really, really excited about.
All right, that's all I have. Thanks.
Thank you.
Are there any other individuals in opposition to the CPC recommendation to deny?
My name is Larry Vineyard. I'm 2622 Commerce. Here speaking, and I work for Madison Partners, the applicant. How do I get it up?
Let me get it up on the thing. Oh, it's up there. Okay.
This is a brief presentation. We want you to know about Madison Partners. It's a family-owned and operated enterprise. I've been in business for 30-some-odd years. Property owners in Lower Greenville, Deep Ellum, and all over Dallas and so forth. We have a number of award-winning tenants, best hot dog, best record store, literally an entire bevy of award-winning tenants. And we care about the communities we operate in, and we want our tenants to be successful, and we bring successful tenants to our property. The proposed operator, Brooke Humphreys, also has Barcadia. She is a very successful operator. We have someone from a representative from her operation who's here to talk. We want you to know that. Again, here's a rendering of the bowling alley itself. You can see that it dominates the whole downstairs of this building. Next door is the restaurant concept. Again, these are not gigantic spaces. As you see in this rendering, the ground level, only the pink area is really for customers. All the rest is dominated by the bowling alleys. So only about 900 to 1,300 square feet is available for customer area out of this whole area. Again, here is a rendering of the upstairs. You can see with the cutout, it may not be obvious to many of you, there's a cutout in the upstairs floor. There's only about 15 feet from the outside of the building on the sides to the cutout. So this is not a huge space again. And here's a rendering of the upstairs, and you can see there's plenty of room taken up by tables and chairs and so forth. Now, we've met with the community has asked us for conditions. We've basically met not only six of the eight, we've met all eight of the conditions. that the neighborhood asked us for, and they still are not happy with the concept. So we simply have an agreement to disagree on this point, but we have made every effort we can to accommodate everything they've asked for and have met every condition they've asked for. Again, it's $1.5 million investment, a gateway to the new Greenville Avenue, a daytime use that's not previously been existing in this part of Dallas, creates 40 jobs, $400,000 in tax revenues. We think this is the right thing to put into a transitional situation on Lower Greenville Avenue as we try to move into the new area here. Again, we've met with the neighborhood, and again, here is the notification area. We have more than a 3-to-1. The people most directly affected by this have all said, yes, we think this is a great thing for the neighborhood. So again, 3-to-1 acceptance for the people most directly affected, and I thank you for your time.
Are there any other individuals that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve the item?
Yes. I'm Daniel Vaughn, 5508 Richmond Avenue. I live just a few blocks from the proposed project. It's within the LWGNA boundaries, and I'm in support of the project, and I really look forward to having a great amenity like that in my neighborhood.
Any other speakers?
Hello, my name is Brianna Larson. I live at 8489 Sweetwater. I've worked for the company that intends to open the bowling concept on Lower Greenville since 2008. I've been involved in all of our openings and remain a big part of the operations. For a company, regrettably, is unable to be here today because of travel and the meeting being moved. I would just like to let you guys know that we have every intention of opening a bowling concept providing good family and adult entertainment. So, on behalf of us, we have spoke directly with our neighbors on a regular basis to remain a good relationship, and we intend to do so in this position as well. Thank you.
Good afternoon. Suzanne Kedra, 901 Main Street. I'd like to address three issues, and these three issues go really to the heart of the existing SUP ordinance. The first is liquor. We believe that the state has preempted the area of liquor regulation. Madison supported the SUP requirement when asked by council members from the district, and this was done in an effort to assist the city in regulating some of the operators that were having a negative impact on the area. We believe that this is a good use and right for the neighborhood. The term of the SUP. The SUP term is without basis. We requested 5 years, although we really find no basis either by statute or case law for the ability to limit the term. Again, we request a longer term to assist in the regulation of some of the uses in the area that are having a negative impact, even though we find no authority for the limitation. The 5 years we need, first of all, to get the construction going and to get the bowling alley open. And then the third is the size of the use. We've demonstrated what the two buildings are being used for, and there's no basis for denial for use as being too big. The request is for an extension of hours, not to permit the use. The use is already a permitted one out there. Madison looks forward to continuing to work with this council and the neighbors to get this project built, and we welcome any questions. Thank you.
Are there any other speakers in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve the item? Are there any speakers in favor of the CPC recommendation to approve? We do have individuals coming down to the podium. Excuse me, I'm sorry. The speakers that are coming forward are speaking in favor of the CPC recommendation to deny. Thank you. Sir, if you'll please.
How many do we have? Four. Okay. All right. Thank you, Bruce. You want to start?
Want to make sure that we're rolling here.
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Bruce Richardson, 5607 Richmond Avenue. I am here to present you with a lot of facts. Forgive me, but concentrate on your little screens. I'm going to have to bang through a lot of information fast. The reason we're here to speak with you is because pretty pictures and pretty stories and people interviewed with their children do not reflect the reality of this application. The reality is, in 2002, an SUP was proposed on this space, Beagle Pizza, supposed to be food-driven, family-oriented, became a huge bar. 2005, Lucky's Roadhouse came through for an SUP, supposed to be a high-level food concept, Boutique Roadhouse, became huge bar. 2008, back again, diverse professional bar concept, the CPC Council intervened, required parking for the rooftop and other measures to attempt to control the impact, bar immediately closes. 2009, concert venue proposed, council denies. The reason the council has denied this is because every concept is like this one. The division of space, bar in red, bowling in blue. In fact, 36 people only can bowl on 6 lanes in 2 hours. So in the 2 hours of time, they're asking you to approve, in addition to the rest of the concept, 36 people can bowl. The rest of the people in the space cannot bowl. They're doing something else. Here's the photograph they've been showing you. They showed you a lot of graphics. Well, look at the carpet space behind the bowling balls there. That is 7 feet of open space and a 35-foot bar. And that's what a 35-foot bar looks like in reality, not clean open space with smiling families. Upstairs, that karaoke stage, this is the Highball in Austin, a similar rock and bowl type concept. It is not your dad's karaoke. This is the size of uses you have approved to date. They run from 1,000 square feet to a little shy of 4,000. You can see how they break down into various sizes, but all community serving. This is the size of this proposal. This is why we are here objecting. It's over 10,000 square feet larger than the largest approved to date. It is 14 times the times of the smallest and 5 times as big as the average. It's almost as big as everything else put together. It's so big that you have to combine single-wide Greenville Avenue Pizza, the Libertine, Zubar, Nandina, Crown and Harp, and a little bit more to fill up this gargantuan space. It's not small. The potential parking load, 563. Madison Partners owns a total parking stock in our district of 541. Please uphold this denial. Everything is not as it seems. It is as it's always been. Thank you.
Sir, if you will please state your name and address for the record.
Good afternoon. Stacy Davis, 5605 Lewis Street. I live directly adjacent to this site at Hope and Lewis Street within the notification area. When I talked to my neighbors who had not experienced the past uses, such as the Beagle, I found that Madison's PR representative had been in our neighborhood presenting limited information on the size and scope of their proposed use in order to gain their support. They could not tell me why this was positive, only that she had told them that the applicant had worked out all the neighborhood concerns. She personally told me that an amended application had been filed when, in fact, that was not true, and subsequently I confirmed it was not true. I find this disturbing because the perceived authority figure goes door-to-door representing a one-sided story, providing limited information, a one-choice ballot, and notarizing that one-choice ballot in order to garner support. Does not serve the purpose of this community or city very well. It narrows the discussion and focuses on the wrong topic. We should not be judging this proposal by the concept, but more by the consequences. I am also concerned about my property value. I feel like it will go down due to the intensity of the use of this bowling bar. I'm also concerned that everything I heard in meetings with this applicant indicates that the use will be more intense than the Beagle, not less. A definitive plan has not presented and details are sketchy at best. As a real estate professional, I feel this intense use is risky and will add too much late-night bar use to Lowest Greenville at a time when we are all concerned about late night uses and that we envision a more balanced neighborhood. I would like to see this CPC recommendation upheld. Thank you.
Next speaker.
Good afternoon. My name is Stephen Melendi. I'm president of the Belmont Neighborhood Association. This bowling alley would exist in the Belmont Neighborhood Association. I'm here to talk about something, Fort Worth's Lucky Strike Bowling Alley, really quickly. This was brought up at each of the CPC hearings as an example of what Madison is trying to do with this space. The problem is there's a big difference between the neighborhood surrounding the Lucky Strike and the Greenville Avenue neighborhood. This is exactly like the Lucky Strike in the sense that it's a bowling alley with a bar and other fun stuff to do. But when you dig deeper, you see that it's really very different from the Lucky Strike. First, let's start with where it is. The Lucky Strike is in a giant complex. It's got a movie theater, a gym, a 7-story office tower. A 1,200-square-foot parking garage is attached to the Lucky Strike itself. This is the polar opposite of what we have on Greenville Avenue here. This is at the corner of Greenville and Lewis. I can speak from personal experience, having lived on Lewis Street for 8 years, starting in 2002 when the Beagle was there and when the Beagle closed. I lived on the other side of Matilda, so a full 400 or 500 feet past the notification area we've been talking about here, and every night there was something going on at the Beagle. One side of the street you could park on Lewis Street was covered in cars. The second the Beagle closed down, totally different story. As you can see, here's another picture of the Lucky Strike on a 5-lane wide street that actually has bike lanes, which is pretty cool, next to a 7-story office tower and a parking garage. There's a movie theater. There's a parking garage and an LA Fitness. There's a 6-story parking garage. There's only one patio at the Lucky Strike, surrounded on 3 sides, and it overlooks other commercial businesses. The patio on top of this building allows you to see people's rooftops and people's patios. Mr. Davis's roof, from my driveway before these other buildings were built, which I'll get to in a second, you could see it. This is what it looks like 2 blocks north of the Lucky Strike. Completely surrounding this building is neighborhoods. This is also, I would say, a more intense use than the Lucky Strike. The Lucky Strike has 10 lanes. They've told you they're going to have 6 because they can't shoehorn any more in there. The Lucky Strike only has 1 bar. They showed you different things on their chart. They kind of glossed over it. They call it Food and Beverage Center. It's a bar. It's a giant bar where people line up to get drinks. There's only one of those at Lucky Strike. There's 4 here. You saw this chart when Bruce was presenting. It's the size of this concept compared to everything else. The bottom line is this. When the Beagle was there, every night something was going on at the Beagle. Tons of people walking down the street. Tons of parking problems. And there was dozens less residences in the neighborhood at the time. Between Matilda and this bar, since that time, they've built entire new townhome developments that are full of individuals and families, even with all those people, and no on-street parking. There's less noise and traffic now than when the Beagle was open, and we'd ask you to uphold the CPC's recommendation.
Are there any other speakers?
Hey, Mr. Mayor, Philip Kingston, 5901 Palo Pinto. I wanted to first start off by addressing a couple of the legal issues that were brought up by the applicant's representative. What she told you is that there's a liquor preemption that the state of Texas has enforced, in my view, wrongly against home rule municipalities such as Dallas, but be that as it may, it is the law. However, you guys know that this PD, as we have other examples of it in Dallas, does not tread on that whatsoever. You have applicants who are making applications simply on the basis of needing to stay open past midnight, such as the 7-Eleven and the Shell station. These are not being regulated on the basis of alcohol sales, which would run afoul of the liquor preemption. Additionally, she said there was no authority for keeping it to a shorter term. In fact, the SUP process, the Plan Development District process, has been tested many times in the courts in Texas, and terms are very appropriate for the city to set for the type of zoning that an SUP provides. It allows the political body of the city to make some value judgments about an area and enforce zoning that helps that area through the plan development district. Therefore, it has to have a term on it. You can require these people to come back and prove that they are upholding the standards that you set before them. Last one, she said, is that there was no authority for regulation on behalf of size. And there, I would actually partially agree with her. If this were a giant daytime retail outlet, I don't think we'd be having this discussion. What you're regulating on here is not so much size as intensity of the use. What we know from past history is that even when an operator was in this space on a smaller floor plan, before some of the square footage that you've seen in the new plans was drawn in, it created problems for the neighborhood because of the intensity of the use. And by intensity of use, what we're talking about is a bunch of people getting out all at the same time. They've had serious noise complaints at this location for many years, as you've heard some of the residents testify to. So when you're looking at your basis for regulating this use, this proposed use, on the basis of intensity, what you're looking at is the standard SUP requirements, that it be compatible with local uses, that it be appropriate for the health, safety, and welfare of the neighborhood. When you're regulating on that basis, you're perfectly within state law, and you have every legal basis to move forward on that, on those terms. Thank you.
Are there any other speakers?
Hi, Mike Northrup, 5703 Goliad Avenue at the corner of Goliad and Greenville Avenue. You heard Bruce Richardson speak earlier about some of the historical background for this particular site and the Beagle Bar. What we learned from that history is that that was the proverbial straw that broke the camel's back. No matter what conditions were placed on this particular site and the size of the site, it was just too big and it overwhelmed the neighborhood. A little over a year ago, this council passed the Greenville PD that causes us to be here today. And the stated purpose of that PD is to ensure compatibility of uses with adjacent residential neighborhoods and reduce crime by discouraging regional-serving late-night venues. As a late-night use, this concept and this enormous space just can't help but to be a regional use if it intends to succeed. Your dockets have a list of SUP criteria in it for late-night use permits. I would call your attention to 3, that it must complement or be compatible with the surrounding uses and community facilities. It must contribute to, enhance, or promote the welfare of the area of request and adjacent properties. And it must not be detrimental to the public health, safety, or general welfare. The square footage of this projected occupancy and the projected occupancy of this bar and bar component of this single proposed use has the potential to bring in more occupants than this applicant has in the way of parking spaces in the surrounding area, just as the Beagle Bar did. That means more overflow parking in the adjacent residential areas. So we're no longer talking about crime, noise, and parking for the immediate residents who butt up against those parking lots, but we're talking about the greater neighborhood area. So when these establishments close their doors at 2 a.m., we all know it. Believe me, we can hear the rowdy, drunken patrons walking to their cars in our neighborhoods. We don't want to repeat the mistake of the Beagle Bar. This Greenville PD was designed to avoid those mistakes by eliminating regional uses such as this one. I'm speaking here today for a coalition of 5 neighborhood associations that are adjacent to this site: the Lower Greenville Neighborhood Association, the Belmont Neighborhood Association, Lowest Greenville West, Vickery Place Neighborhood Association, and Hudson Heights. Many of you have heard recently from other extended neighborhoods, Munger Place, Swiss Avenue. They've been watching what's going on in this application. They have decided this is a big concern for them because of the huge impact that this will have, and it will extend it into their neighborhoods. It's just as simple as this, that this is too big of a use, and we would ask that this council vote to uphold the CPC's recommendation of denial.
Are there any other speakers that would like to speak in favor of the CPC recommendation to deny the item? No further speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I'll entertain motion. Ms. Medrano.
Thank you, Mayor, and we definitely want to thank both sides for coming down today and try to explain what is going on and on this particular zoning case. Seems like Lois Greenville always has the most contentious zoning cases. I think both sides presented their sides well. Unfortunately, I think the community, or fortunately, I think the community has expressed what the immediate community and the extended community have at least called and written me, and hopefully the rest of the council. Too intense, too big, different concepts, but the operation is the same. And most of it, I think most of the phone calls and the emails have said that Lois Greenville neighborhood deserves a more balanced neighborhood, more shopping, more community retail, and the extended area does too. I think Ms. Reese has, I deal with the Madison Partners in Deep Ellum, and they're right, they do bring some wonderful concepts to Deep Ellum, wonderful restaurants, and I would hope that they would bring those type of businesses to Deep Ellum. Lower Greenville. Earlier this year, Ms. Hunt and I talked to you guys about the new PD and the investment that the city is making in Lois Greenville. It's more than $1.4 million to bring wider sidewalks, to reduce the street size, to make the street size, to make sure that we have that concept of retail shopping and Bishop Arts has, and that's what we want. And I don't think the neighborhood wants the big intense use anymore. So I'd like to move to deny and follow CPC's recommendation, and I would hope that you would support me.
We've got a motion and a second by Ms. Grayson. Discussion, Mr. Caraway?
Yes. Mayor, are we going to hear from her first? It doesn't matter.
I just had a question on the motion. Is that denial without prejudice?
It is denial without prejudice.
Thanks for the question.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Mayor and Ms. Medrano. And I just wanted to get just a little clarification. I've heard the both sides. I just wanted to be clear. If I could get someone from Madison to come to the microphone just for clarity before I make a decision here. In listening to, and thank you, ma'am, in listening to the debate, you are already prepared to stay open to 12, and are you seeking only to stay open from 12 to 2? Do I have that right, or am I?
This is an existing building,
right,
but not an existing use. So
okay,
we could open right now and stay open until midnight, but in order to make the investment in this property and add these new jobs, and I can't do that without the SGP. So
okay, so you can still put this use, a bowling alley, in that building currently and stay open till 12 o'clock without coming before the Dallas City Council? Is that?
That's true, but there's no tenant in the world that would sign up for that.
I understand. I'm just trying to
get
clarity of the use. Now, is this use, because of solid creative pitches, is it something similar to a Dave and Buster's?
No. It's we call it a boutique bowling alley restaurant lounge. It's the yes, people are bowling, but it's also an activity to watch the people bowling, which is what the use for the, I mean, that building already has the cutout on the second floor on the mezzanine, but we anticipated that there would be a lot of, it would be fun to have the noise of the bowling. They're going to use vintage bowling lanes. People could look down on it, but it's not going to be a plethora of video games. There are going to be billiards tables and things like that, but it wouldn't be like a Dave & Buster's. It's just way too small.
Okay, I've heard a lot of discussion about the Beagle and other clubs there.
Mm-hmm.
Are you all affiliated, or were you affiliated with the Beagle? And
well, we owned the building. Yes, we owned the building.
When the Beagle was there?
Yes.
So you did own the building?
Yes, we did.
When the Beagle was there?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. And the other clubs and bars that
yes.
were there?
Yes, and I mean, to my knowledge, they were not a big problem. Yes, they were a big bar. This is a much less intense use. Because if you imagine the first floor with no bowling alley on it, and then imagine it with bowling alleys on it, it's a way more intense use. Probably reduces the occupancy from about 800 to about 4. I believe the building inspector said 436.
Yeah. But you all owned the building
yes.
when
yes,
the Beagle was operating.
Mm-hmm.
And the other clubs, I'm just familiar with hearing the name
yep.
Beagle. Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Okay.
Mayor, one thing I will say, and I'll say to you all, I have some places in Oak Cliff that we'd love to have you, and we can reconfigure and we can do a whole bunch of things. And we do not have a bowling alley. And so that is something that you should look forward to in the future. Mayor, I will say this too. I've heard the argument I understand it much clearer now. But we are pro-business, and we should remain pro-business. I'm pro-neighborhood as well. You all got us in a cross to a great degree. But at the end of the day, we tend to side with the neighborhood, but I want to suggest that we here at the City of Dallas continue to be business-friendly. If the Beagle was owned by you all and the neighborhood was having problems, I can better understand the slides. I was trying to disassociate with my question, reasons for questions, to disassociate you from the Beagle. But if you owned the building, and if the building at the time was giving the neighborhood concerns, I further understand the neighborhood. But with that, we'll just have to see how it goes. But I just had to get some clarity on that. Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, Ms. McDonald.
Thank you, Mr. Caraway. Ms. Davis?
Yes, I need someone to talk to me about the parking. I heard some people talk about the parking would be a problem. Is there, Teresa, will there be enough parking by David?
Based on the proposed use for the site, there is adequate parking. However, one of the concerns was that there's approximately 20 spaces on site, and the rest of the parking would all be through remote parking agreements.
Okay, so anybody can kind of share the parking. There's not any parking designated to them directly.
Well, it is designated to them. It's just not adjacent to that particular building, with the exception of those
few
spaces that are on site.
Then I have one more other question. Who will manage that facility?
I have to defer to the applicant to respond to that.
Okay. And I heard her talk about, even though if we deny it today, you could still put a bowling alley there. Are you planning to do that?
No, maybe I wasn't clear. I'm saying that by right, we could put a bowling alley there right now.
Okay.
The same exact concept if it closed at midnight. But no, we won't do that, and we won't invest the money, and we won't hire the people, because it doesn't make economic sense for the operator. I can't get a loan to do that kind of investment, $1.5 million. I can't get that loan without the tenant, and I can't get the tenant without the SUP, because why would they do that?
Right. Do you have, if this is denied, do you have another plan for the building which you own?
This may not be the best time for me to answer the question, because I'm a little bit step.
Okay.
But there are plenty of other things we can do. We just thought this was the best thing.
Okay. Well, I don't want you to get upset. I'm so sorry, okay? Thank you so much.
Okay.
Thank you, Ms. Davis. Mr. Atkins.
Teresa, Dave, I see here, you know, the CPC denied it, but staff did approve it. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. Could you
well, we made recommendations,
pardon?
Sir. We did make a recommendation of approval, sir, yes, sir.
So what was based on your recommendation for approval?
The space has formerly been used for similar type uses, and we understand the arguments made by the neighborhood folks, and they did an excellent job, I believe. This request before the council is just the late night. It's not the request for the use. The use is allowed by right. It's just the question of whether or not the use should stay open from 12 until 2. And they are it was a short duration of time. I think we recommended a 2-year period, and so that was our recommendation.
Okay, so basically, you know, from 12 to 2, the parking, how many spaces is on the premise that it can allow parking, you know?
Well, and there's a lot of discussion, especially on Greenville, about parking. And so the amount of required parking is calculated by the floor area of the use, not the number of people that can fit inside the space. So the amount of required parking, I believe, is 36 spaces.
36 spaces.
However, the occupancy of... Can I take a look at it for me? There's 20 spaces provided on site. The other spaces will be in remote lots. And but I think one of the arguments that the neighborhoods are making is even that a number of people that could be inside the space at any one time would greatly exceed the amount of our required parking. So you have parking, the requirement, and the actual demand versus the supply.
Well, I guess what I'm hearing is that, correct me if I'm wrong, you feel like there is not adequate parking on site, and there is off-premise parking, which probably park in the neighborhood. So the neighborhood is saying that when people who go to the building, they will be parking on my street or in my driveway.
Yes.
Is that a first phase?
That's a continual criticism of Greenville, yes, is spillover parking into the neighborhood.
Okay,
absolutely.
So over parking. So therefore, and I guess that's you, Pauline, question to you, that the community, you know, they say, well, we would love it if all the parking was at that site. But it's concerning to the community is that most of those people between 12 and 2 will be going through the neighborhood, and there might be other situations.
Mr. Atkins, I think that that's one concern in the neighborhood, but I believe, as we all heard, the neighborhood, I think they have multiple concerns of the intensity of and the noise. And that, you know, it's basically very big. It's going to have potential of over 500 people in one location.
Okay, so I guess, you know, the neighborhood, I'm just trying to get clarity, that one issue is the parking, the other issue is the noise in the neighborhood, and I was trying to get a menu, you know, what was all the issues, you know, and I understand CBC went one way and staff went the other way, but... Could you just give me the 5 top issues that came out in the community where their concern was besides parking and the noise? Were there any other issues?
The other issues are those associated with the clientele, people that are maybe inebriated and disorderly in the neighborhood, noise, traffic congestion.
Again, the primary issue focused on the number of people in the parking. Parking with 153 spaces was the requirement. Concerns when they do utilize valet, the way the valets find the parking sometimes is to hit the horn on the keychain. So I think it's safe to say it was the intensity of the use, the number of people that would be drawn, and therefore also the number of parking spaces. Because, you know, from our perspective, that's leasable area that's probably either going to be a retail parked at 1 to 200 or frequently in that area it's going to be a restaurant, a bar, which is going to have the similar parking requirement of 1 to 100. So that's kind of the way we approached it. But, you know, I think it's just the intensity of the size of the use that bothered the neighborhood as much as anything else. But did focus on the parking and the number of people that were there.
And so therefore, you know, you mentioned valet. So valet would not be an asset to this establishment because they still would be parking the cars probably on the street or in the neighborhood. And when I'm here, there's not other space for, if, even though they have valet, where do they park the cars? Is that a fair question?
Yes, sir. I mean, they have to prove up to us that they've got the adequate number of parking spaces required by the use. But, you know, obviously, people will park where they feel it's convenient.
Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Cadet.
Oh, thank you, Mayor. David may want to stay, but it's questions for you all, Teresa. If this was approved, that does not mean, according to what I'm reading, that they have to put a bowling alley there. Is that correct?
The late hours permit specifically
That's all we're dealing with here.
Well, it identifies a commercial amusement bowling alley use as part of the SUP.
It mentions it, but does it say they have to put it in?
To be open past midnight, they have to have a CO for a commercial amusement use in a bowling alley.
Okay. Now, is it considered a bar or lounge, this facility?
Well, the CO that they're seeking is a commercial amusement. Now, they'll sell alcohol in addition to that.
Well, I was wondering, they had a video showing kids wanting to go in and bowl and stuff. Is that...
As long as they're accompanied by an adult, it's my
understanding. They have to be accompanied by an adult.
Yes, mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Carraway.
Thank you, Mayor. And I'm not trying to draw us out. Good questions there, Jeffy. I guess I have to address this to the Madison Group again. The 2 hours that we're talking, you all stay close, Teresa. The 2 hours that we're talking about, and I understand the investment, but is it that impactful with the 2 hours? Because certainly the 2 hours probably wouldn't make a difference on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Maybe it is. I don't know. But more or less Friday and Saturday anyway, it would probably be more impactful. But those 2 hours, it makes that big of a difference? And I'm just asking.
It makes a difference between having a tenant that'll do it and not having a tenant.
Okay. So you all, you're saying having a tenant now. Are you all not going to be the tenant?
No. The tenant...
Where is the,
well, this is Brianna, is her representative. The tenant is Brooke Humphreys, who owns Barcadia, which is down on Henderson. Been very successful. She now has, I think, 5 Barcadias. There's one in Fort Worth, New Orleans, can't remember where else exactly. Houston. She has a great reputation. She's a great operator. She never has any trouble. That's another reason we felt so comfortable, was that she is an experienced tenant who is right around the corner. So
the Barcadia folks are well
known. Yes. Yes.
And if I could ask you to come up, I'm just trying to get some clarity and some understanding, because I want to hear, and I'm feeling what the neighborhood is saying, but I'd like to hear from you, because the neighborhood, they are afraid of a bar, open saloon, you know, a late night.
Yeah, and we understand and respect that, and I definitely see both sides. I mean, I've been a resident in the area for quite some time. But
is that the intent of this? Would this be what they are saying?
We are going to be an entertainment venue that offers food and beverage so that it appeals to all ages. You know, I mean, I don't know anywhere that sends their kids without adults to begin with for bowling, so I don't see why that should be such an issue. And in the area, there are places that are open till 2 a.m. So if we close our doors at 12, that simply means those people are going to go 2 doors down to continue doing what we're doing, and we're not getting rid of the traffic.
And I guess I'm kind of hung up with the fact that, is it going to be a place where I'm going to come?
And, absolutely.
And I'm talking about and getting to an atmosphere of a bar late night. I think that is what the neighborhood is concerned about. Or is it going to be till 2 o'clock in the morning somewhat family oriented with the bowling alleys and things.
Well,
like
I think most families don't have their kids out till 2 a.m. Okay. But I mean, we are going to have the bowling till 2 a.m. We are going to have a full functioning kitchen 7 days a week, and the venue will be an interactive establishment that does offer beverage service. You know, we've never been trying to be perceived as anything different.
Okay. And you've been successful and with all your other bars everywhere else?
Yes, sir. We have never had any large issues. Majority of our customers live in the area. I've spoken with several of them regarding this issue, and if anything, especially those with families, have imbibed the idea with open arms. So.
Okay. And if it does not pass to stay open to 2, then the Barcadia won't proceed to go through?
No, because we can go to another venue and be open till 2, and it's not fair for us to give up that profit just for it to go 2 doors down.
Okay. Two doors down?
Yes, there are. I mean, there's single wide there. There are other bars that are open till 2 a.m., so if people are looking for that beverage service, why should we be obligated to close our doors and turn them elsewhere when we've proven with our track record to be able to responsibly operate a, you know, beverage service?
Okay. Okay. All right.
Thank you.
All right. And then I'll just close by saying Greenville Avenue is pretty unique. And this is to you, Teresa and Dave. As relate to parking, you all talked about the 153 parking places. How do we regulate parking with all of the different businesses up and down Greenville as we have them in Deep Elm? How do we say to a particular business that's business with no parking at all, how do we make a request for folks to have X number of spaces when the spaces do not exist?
Well, and Greenville is in a unique area because they have Delta credits, which means they're not penalized for the fact that they were built prior to us having a larger parking requirement. So, and I think what you're hearing here is the difference between required parking and the actual demand for parking. So the required parking is much less than what the neighborhood perceives the demand to be, and we don't make the operator provide that parking. So it kind of, you know, seeks its own solution and typically those will be a neighborhood.
Just in the future, Mayor, I'm done. In the future, and I say this.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Carroll.
You all probably should consider getting a building, a garage or something, a future business so we can get those cars out of the neighborhood over on Greenville. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Ms. Carroll. Any other questions, comments? So we have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried. If there's any interest in talking about any place in the West End or downtown, I'd love to discuss that in the future. Thank you.
Okay. Item number 76 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting the creation of a new sub-district within the Arts District Special Provision Sign District, Section 51A-1200 of the Dallas City Code, generally bounded by Flora Street, Leonard Street, Ross Avenue, and Crockett Street.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 7 notices to property owners who in turn through their request. We received 5 replies in favor and no replies in opposition.
Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak in opposition of the CPC recommendation to approve? Are there any speakers in opposition to the CPC? If you would please step forward. Each individual will be allowed 3 minutes to speak. If you'll please state your name and address for the record and make your comments to Mayor Rawlings. Thank you.
My name is Lee Cobb. I live at 1770 Arts Plaza, better known as One Arts Plaza. And I'm addressing you today as a district property owner, an arts patron, an arts donor, and a member of the One Arts Plaza HOA Board of Directors. We feel that granting this exception to circumvent arts district signage regulations would be a major mistake for the city and our jewel of an arts district. It is a short-sighted, poorly conceived idea, and city staff rightly recommended its denial. The district signage regulations were established to create and maintain a distinct non-commercial character in the Arts District that is notably different than that of the Central Business District by focusing visually on the arts, architecture, and the pedestrian experience. The district signage regulations call for, and I quote, the creation of a pedestrian-oriented environment and a distinctive visual image for the district. End quote. Furthermore, among other objectives, and I'm quoting again, to create a sense of design uniformity between signs and other streetscape elements of the Arts District. This proposed signage will have just the opposite effect. Through the regulations, the city made an inherent promise to protect the district's occupants, whether residential, commercial, or institutional, from any threat to the neighborhood's special character. We ask that the city continue to keep that promise. We oppose the sub-district and its proposed tenant identity signage with enormous internally illuminated signs high on the building's facades up to 9 feet tall and 60 feet long because it violates the district's signage regulations and their intent. It would distract from and degrade the surrounding world-class architecture we're lucky enough to have in our district. And most importantly, it sets a dangerous precedent and gives an unfair competitive advantage to one property that will lead to other district commercial buildings also demanding exceptions to install major tenant signage. This piecemeal approach would eventually destroy the character of our neighborhood. And lastly, the Flora Street signage would sit directly at eye level with many One Arts Plaza and future museum tower residences, creating visual and light pollution and potentially resulting in decreased sales and decreased property values. We've made major investments in Dallas' little gem of an Orange District, yet no district residents had a voice on the committees that recommended this exception, which will open a Pandora's box of future exceptions and requests. Please understand that we welcome more businesses to the neighborhood, including this project. However, with only two buildable sites left along Flora Street, this is truly the district's 11th hour. Notably, none of the commercial buildings in the district have this type of signage, and they are all very well, if not 100% leased. Therefore, we ask that you deny this request and preserve our special neighborhood, the Dallas Arts District. Thank you for your time.
Next speaker in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve.
Good afternoon. My name is Patricia Camargo, and I'm a property owner at One Arts Plaza. I oppose the signage request because it will forever change the artistic character of the district. We're passionate about our neighborhood and its incredible arts venues and architecture, and we must ensure that it retains its non-commercial arts focus for future generations of Dallasites to enjoy.
You guys, the lady's talking here.
Yeah.
Okay, would you please hold up? We can do that later.
Through signage exception, further commercialization would have won out, helping the disfiguring of our blossoming, beautiful arts district. Please don't destroy what so many, including former city leaders, have worked so long and hard to make, which is an artful oasis already much admired around the country and the world, right here in a little section of downtown Dallas. Should you vote yes, would you be prepared to contribute to further damaging the district? Because I assure you, more exceptions would be forthcoming. I urge you to please vote no to visual pollution, because that's what this would be. I urge you to please vote no to this exception. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next speaker.
Hello, my name is Lucilo Pena. I live at 1717 Arts Plaza, number 2311 in Dallas. I am a resident in the Arts District. I am on several boards in the Arts District, and I'm a developer in the Arts District. And I'm here today representing myself, not anybody else. And personally, I am strongly against the signs coming into the Arts District, but the reason I'm here today is that if some form of signage gets approved, I think it should be approved the council should ask staff to extend it to the rest of the Arts District, including the area to the east of Root Street, which is the expansion of the Arts District, so that all commercial properties in the Arts District play by the same rules. This is granting special rights to one specific property that the other commercial properties in the Arts District do not have. Currently, all the properties in the Arts District have the right for building identification signage. And this is tenant identification signage, which is completely different. So should this or some form of this be approved, it should just apply to all the commercial properties in the Arts District equally. Thank you.
Thank you.
Are there any other speakers in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve?
Good afternoon. My name is Joel Austin, and I'm with Billingsley Company, the commercial developer of One Arts Plaza, as well as the planned Two Arts Plaza and Three Arts Plaza, all located within the Arts District at the east end of the district. Billingsley Company has two remaining commercial sites within the district, and the issues that the Hall project faces in attracting tenants apply uniformly to all commercial interests within the district. We don't necessarily object to signage within the Arts District, but we do object to an exception that would not be uniformly applied to any property or interest within the Arts District. I'd ask that any approved changes to signage regulations apply uniformly to the entire Arts District and not be limited to the single site in question. Thanks.
Are there any other speakers in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve the item? Are there any speakers in favor of the CPC recommendation to approve the item? If you'll please step forward. State your name and address for the record.
My name is Craig Hall. I live at 2828 Hood Street, Unit 1702. Mayor Rollins and members of City Council, thank you for your opportunity for me to speak. I'll be brief. Our site is the site that otherwise to many is called Stonehenge. This was originally a joint venture with the city in the 1980s and our predecessor, not us, Metropolitan Structures. It was originally designated to be 250-story towers. Rather than maximize the height and density, which we think would be adverse to the Arts District in the area, we planned a 17-story office building, as the model shows here. The building is stepped back from Flora and the Meyerson on purpose to give respect to the Flora Street. Our second phase will be a condominium building, which I hope may actually be built simultaneous or shortly after this building. I fully intend, and I'm already working on designing our unit. My wife, Catherine, and myself will move in there. We will literally, the people in the condominium building, will be the closest to any signs here. If we believe there were light problems and other problems that we thought would be distracting or harmful in any way to the spirit of the Arts District, we wouldn't do this. We've owned this property a long time. We went out and started looking for tenants, and the reality is, in the market today, you cannot get tenants to pre-lease a substantial space without a sign. So effectively, that's why we're here. And we're looking to do the most tasteful sign possible and to make it something that works. We've done various studies from One Arts. It would be real strange to see it, and the signs across the street on Chase and other places, we compete. We're not an island. The fact is the Arts District needs to be completed. This is a difficult enough process, but our goal is to bring pedestrian, more street traffic, restaurants, and we can't do this without a fair competitive playing field with the others around the Arts District, and that's basically what we're asking for. Thank you.
Are there any other individuals in favor of the CPC recommendation to approve?
Mayor, can you ask them to kind of move that back a little? I can't see the speakers.
I can't see my colleagues.
Whoever was lifting and toting, could you move that? Could you move that back?
We got one person. Our speakers are lifting and toting.
Thank you. Thank you.
Just
turn it sideways.
Turn it sideways. You got like Jerry?
Yeah, right there.
You see a guy here? Jerry, put it on.
Thank you.
Hello, my name is Heath May. I live at 915 Creekdale. I'm an architect representing the design team for Hall Art. I have some slides here that I'd like to show, so I'm going to see if I can get these to come up, please. Okay, first off, please, my apologies for the model earlier. We also are very passionate about this particular site. This has a world-class performance art district. It has world-class architecture, and we feel that our response needs to communicate that through the design. To kind of walk you through this very briefly through this entire project, I'd like to start here with a site plan. And what this shows is roughly all locations in the Arts District. We are directly across from the Wind Sphere, adjacent to the Wiley Theater. And over here is the Cathedral of Guadalupe. This is approximately 500,000 square feet of space here. Phase one includes 17 stories of office building and approximately 20,000 square feet of residential that lines Flora at street level. It also features a deck above the restaurant where patrons and the public can come out to experience the Arts District from approximately 20 feet above the sidewalk level. Within this 500,000 square feet, there's about 460,000 square feet of leasable office space. There's also a public plaza featuring Texas art and landscape, which will run between phase one and phase two. This is a publicly accessible plaza, heavily landscaped, and will feature artwork by Texas artists. And the idea with this is to connect the business district with the arts district with a public way. We feel that the mixed-use nature of this project really talks back to what the Sasaki plan was asking for, and that through these mixed uses, we get some afternoon and daytime uses to go along with the nighttime events uses of the arts district. The retail restaurant area really engages Flora going along with what the Sasaki plan asks for, and that we actually get dining tables and chairs out at the sidewalk level. There's a projecting element that brings a landscape terrace deck out to Flora Street. So we can start to bring some of the vibrancy and the vitality of the people doing things, having dinner, coming out to the edge of the street, which currently many of the buildings are away from the street. The big concept of the building is that we would like to talk about the artistic nature of the Arts District with this facade that wraps around with these multi-toned projecting fins. These fins are designed to control solar glare from the south and the west side, and they project approximately 2 feet out from the building. We've tried to integrate the signage in a way that these correspond to these fin elements so that they aren't applied as an extra layer on top of the building.
Thank you.
Are there any other individuals in favor of the CPC recommendation to approve?
Yes, my name is Richard Sheridan. I live at 302 Forest Lane, Dallas, Texas. And I am in favor of this special sign. And Mr. Craig Hall, who is a real estate historian in our city, I pray that you pick up on this idea. It's not just the homeless. They need a place to go to the bathroom downtown Dallas. But certainly that is a blight to downtown Dallas. So I hope that you approve it with a special caveat that says public restroom inside to anyone that behaves themselves. Thank you very much. Mr. Hall, pleasure to see you today.
Are there any other speakers?
Good afternoon. Suzanne Kedra, 901 Main Street. First and foremost, I'd like to thank you and all your staff for the time that's gone into this. We filed this request back as early as early April. We've had several meetings. We've met with the Arts District Executive Committee, the Arts District we presented at a stakeholders meeting. Three different times we went to the Arts District Sign Review Committee, and what came out of that committee was a unanimous recommendation of approval. We took that recommendation and went forward to City Plan Commission, again, another unanimous recommendation of approval. We've also met with the One Arts, some board members, or about three or four persons in attendance at that meeting. And what we come before you today is somewhat of a compromise position. We've worked hard up until early this morning on an alternate ordinance. It's not perfect, but we are very supportive of it. I do have one clarification on the alternate ordinance. I would like to just be real clear that the signs in this subdistrict A could also include the regular signs that are normally allowed for restaurants and retail. The draft that I just saw, not sure, you know, how correct it is, but in looking at it, I just want to make sure that everyone understands that we would still be allowed the normal signage for our restaurant and retail tenants. It's a very important component to this building and one that will make it successful. So in no way are we trying to hinder them. They're fine with the regulations that are allowed, and we hope that they continue to be allowed for those particular uses. So thank you for your time.
Are there any other speakers?
Good afternoon, Mr. Mayor, members of the council. I'm John Crawford, president of Downtown Dallas, and I'm here to support the motion that's before you. And I think what I'd like to do is synthesize my comments in terms of basically, I think the bottom line is this is an economic development decision, and it really relates to the growth and prosperity and vibrancy of downtown. I never say never, and there are exceptions to everything. However, the likelihood of this building being built without competitive signage options being available is little to none. I visit daily with brokers and potential tenants, and if signage is not on the table as an option in considering the project, they are very forthright in telling me they're not going to waste their time and effort. They have other options to consider, frankly, out in the suburbs. Just as an example, I've visited three times with a major financial institution in great depth about this project, and I can assure you that they have told me unequivocally that they will not take next steps and they will not consider this as an option unless there's a competitive signage opportunity on the project. The other issue that has been raised is the future impact of the Arts District if the signage being requested is allowed. The Arts District is one of 15 different districts downtown and sits in the middle of a multi-billion dollar asset that represents about 20% of the tax base of Dallas. The Arts District has made an enormous impact on our community and certainly on downtown. But to perceive this as, frankly, sacrosanct or not to be open to opportunities that will allow it to become more vibrant and active and increase the tax base potentially sends the wrong message to the community. On the contrary, in terms of maximizing its uniqueness, highest and best use, ROI, and what the original plan for the Arts District called for, we need to send the right message regarding the continued growth, improvement, and expansion for the Arts District, particularly during these economic times. The signage does not threaten the future of the Arts District, uniqueness and character, or the lifestyle and culture. Moreover, the Arts District needs all the support it can get right now to achieve critical mass, vibrancy, residential, and retail exposure. I would just tell you that there's been a number of people, I think, that have sent emails to the council. There are three different tenants from One Arts Plaza, two of which are prominent architects, that have submitted letters in support of this. So I think there is a fairly decent modicum of support, and I would appreciate your support of the application. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Crawford.
Good afternoon. Valletta Forsyth-Lill, 622 Blair Boulevard, Dallas, Texas, 75223. I came to you today to sort of go over the discussions that the Arts District institutions and subcommittees have had. You have before you, however, a slightly different request and ordinance, and so it would probably not be of great assistance for me to go through every one of those things. I would say if you have found yourself a compromise that is respectful and understanding of all the parties, then we are in support. I will say a few things about the Arts District. We do want to be respectful of all of our neighbors and all of our planning decisions. And we realize they all have consequences. We see that every day. Whether it's a new high-rise building that results in the closure of a significant piece of artwork, Tending Blue by James Turrell, or whether it is the redesign of the Dallas Museum of Art's Woodall Rogers entrance to accommodate the new park, where no park and no, quite frankly, space exhibited in the past. We recognize all the consequences of our decisions and the changes in evolving in our district. The original Sasaki plan, which included public space perspective, the hardscape and softscape that you see today, also envisioned a much stronger commercial mix, a much denser commercial mix, a vibrant mix of retail, which included 173,000 square feet from Pearl to Ruth. It also included what was known as the Electric Agora, which was to stand at the corner of Pearl and Flora and include laser technology and the latest in video technology. So it would have been a much more vibrant, intense sign than virtually anything that we have considered over the last 30 years. So we are interested in making sure that our neighborhood is vibrant, that we are respectful of all of our neighbors, and that it is a place for people to come, commercial and our arts institutions. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Wolf.
Are there any other speakers in favor of the CPC recommendation to approve the item? No further speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I'll entertain motion. Ms. Grayson.
Thank you, Mayor. Colleagues, I'm going to make a motion and then follow it with some comments that I think might be more explanatory. But we reached this compromise about noon today, and so I'm sorry I didn't have a chance to visit with all of you about it. But we did reach a compromise, and as with any compromise, not everybody got all of what they wanted, but everybody got some of what they needed. So we have here a true compromise. And Ms. Hunt asked me to do this for her today. She isn't feeling well or she would be here. So let me go ahead and make this motion, which I hope that you all will be able to support because we do have a compromise. I move to close the public hearing and follow the City Plan Commission recommendation of approval with the following changes. Only one tenant identity sign or building ID sign is permitted per facade. Tenant ID signs must be located above the highest leasable floor. Tenant identity signs must be composed of individual letters, and illumination of these signs, if any, must be internal to each letter. No illuminated sign or element of a sign may turn on or off or change its brightness. All tenant identity signs and building identification signs must be the same color. The maximum effective area for an integrated sign is 50 square feet. The maximum height is 8 feet. All elements of an integrated sign must be consistent in color and material. And the regulation for the signs for the restaurant and retail are allowed, as Ms. Kedren was concerned about. So that would be the motion, and then I'd like to make some explanatory remarks if we have seconds.
We have a second by Mr. Atkins. Discussion, Ms. Grayson.
Thank you, Mayor.
Excuse me. We need a second on this. Mr. Margolin.
Thank you. To be a little bit more fuller in my explanation, we're going to allow tenant signs on the topmost portion of the building. And the location and placement is that the tenant or building ID sign shall be confined to only the uppermost portion of the building and may not be placed lower than the top of the highest habitable floor. They can, by right now, have a tenant ID sign on each facade of the building. So we're saying that they can have a building ID sign or they can have a tenant sign. They can't have both on any one facade of the building. Color. All tenant building ID signs have to be one consistent color. This is so that you don't have all kinds of different colors on the top of the building. One side's red, one side's green, one side's blue. The signs can be internally illuminated, and they have to be individual colors. And what that means is that if you have a sign that says AT&T, but you also, if you notice on AT&T's building, they have that world globe. You can't have a world globe. Okay, if BBVA Bank has a sign that says BBVA Bank in capital letters, they can't have a box around it. It's so that it looks more consistent up at the top, and it's all the same color. It doesn't have to be the same letters. It can be uppercase, lowercase, whatever that company uses for its lettering. It just can't have all kinds of extra kinds of things that are called marks, like the AT&T Globe. When we talk about an integrated sign, what we're talking about basically is a tenant ID sign at street level. And that could be a monument sign at the plaza side of the building at Crockett and Ross, or it can be in the plaza, or it can be on the side of the building where there is a wall along Crockett, and that wall is 14 feet by 8 feet, but they have agreed that the sign will be limited to 50 feet, 50 square feet. So whether it is a sign in the plaza, a freestanding monument sign, or whether it is a sign on the wall along Crockett, it can't be higher than 8 feet, and it can be 50 square feet total. So that is a compromise on their part. We've made compromises. They've made compromises. The monument sign can be illuminated. And to give you another example, for instance, if Chili's wanted to put their sign on top of the building, it can say Chili's with the kind of lettering that Chili's uses, but it can't have a chili pepper on it. So that's a little fuller explanation of what we came to, and I want to thank the people who are representing Hall for agreeing to the compromise, and I think that I think this can be, for most people, a win-win. Like I said, everybody didn't get everything they wanted, but everybody got some of what they had to have.
Thank you, Ms. Gracie. Mr. Atkins?
Thank you, Ms. Gracie. You did a great job. You know, it's been a long time since I heard the word compromise, so I guess we know what the definition of compromise means. I mean, all parties work together. Going along with that, Mayor, I just have one suggestion in the future. I believe with the art district, it's a great investment in the art district, and it was since Ann Margolin, you know, have a committed art district, I think. In the future, we should take the science and look at the complete art district and send it to her committee and to review that at a later date.
Thank you, Mr. Atkins. We'll take that under consideration. Mr. Carraway.
Mr. Mayor, I will be supporting this initiative.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Carraway. Let me do Mr. Cadane. Mr. Cadane.
Thank you, Mayor. Does this mean that there will only be a sign on the side of the building and you can't have one on the front top?
No.
You can have one on both sides?
Yes.
Oh, you can put it on all four? Oh, okay. Okay, my next question, does this get the building built? Are you guys going to build a building now?
Mr. Hall, yeah, please.
This is a helpful step, but it is not an assured thing that this gets the building built. But it would be an assured thing if this doesn't happen, that we're doing construction drawings right now,
yeah.
All with local people. We were prepared, if this does not pass, to stop construction drawings and just shelf the whole thing. So,
well, have you already talked with them about the alternate signs?
Yes, they're here, and Council Person Grayson explained, we're in agreement with the.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Cadane. Ms. Hill?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Crawford? Mr. Crawford?
Yes, ma'am. Judge? Yes, ma'am.
Mr. Crawford, does the compromise address the issues that you raised?
Yes, ma'am. I think it does. I think, as Ms. Grayson pointed out, it's a little of this and a little of that, and at the end of the day, I think it's a good trade-off.
Thank you, Mr. Clark.
Thank you, Judge.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Ms. Hill. Ms. Margolin.
Thank you. Last week, I received a good number of emails from my own constituents who were objecting to these signs in the Arts District. And so it caused me to delve into it pretty deeply. And one thing that I was surprised to learn that I want to be very clear is that under the existing Arts District ordinance, signs are allowed at the top of the building. The big difference is that the current ordinance allows them to identify the building, whereas the compromise that Ms. Grayson is presenting allows them to identify the tenant. But there were signs allowed previously, and I think it's really important to put that out there. And I'm interested and will be responding to my constituents further explaining that. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Margolin. And Mr. Allen.
Judge Hill, Councilwoman Hill, I wanted to acknowledge that. I wanted to hear from Mr. Crawford that you were satisfied with this. And so I'll also be in support of this. It's one of these things, as we do these things, the more input we probably have, the better off we are. I believe that the Arts District is such a economic engine for this great city of ours, and at the same time as we do these things, you can water things down so much where it's nothing but blandness. And so I always think of Arts District as being something that's vibrant. And if I wanted to see, I don't know, I kind of like that AT&T globe that's there. But everybody's beauty is a little different, I guess. So if this is the best we can do, it's the best we can do.
Thank you, Mr. Allen. Mr. Coop?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I just want to make sure I understand. Ms. Grayson, can the prospective tenant have their name on all three sides, or does it have to be a different tenant or the owner of the building?
Well, it can be either the name of the building or a tenant name, but we didn't address whether it could be the same tenant on all four sides of the building, but I don't know. Teresa? Sign is a sign.
Yeah, right. I don't know what difference it would make. I'm just asking the question.
Yes, ma'am. The way the ordinance is drafted is you can have one tenant and or building identification sign per side. So you can have a total of four, and I guess if they chose to do all four the same, they could certainly do that. But right now it would allow for four individual ones or a combination, I suppose.
Right. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Coop. Ms. Grayson?
Thank you, Mayor. I wanted to mention something else. One of the speakers, and I think it might have been Mr. Cobb, mentioned that he didn't think there was much opportunity for citizen input. I think that was you, Mr. Cobb. And I agree with him on that. We have a sign review committee that has no citizen folks on it. I think we need to look at that. We've had a lot of recommendations come out of that group lately, and there has been very little, if any, opportunity for regular citizen input, and citizens are impacted by these decisions. And I think we ought to look at the composition of that sign review committee and broaden it to include some citizens. So therefore, people, when these kinds of decisions come up, there's an opportunity for someone like Mr. Cobb or the other lady who spoke or their neighbors to have some say-so in this before it gets down to the last minute and they're coming down here at the podium. So I'd like us to please take a look at that.
Thank you, Ms. Grayson. So we have a motion in 2 seconds, as was read by Ms. Grayson. Any other discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. As the mayor had indicated, item 76 did require
I'll let you guys move the building, too. Thanks.
So the previous statement that was read did apply to that item. Item number 77 is a public hearing on a proposed municipal setting designation to prohibit the use of groundwater as potable water beneath property owned by Pavilion North Holding Limited, located near the intersection of Coit and Campbell Roads and adjacent street right-of-way, and an ordinance authorizing support of the issuance of a municipal setting designation to Pavilion North Holding Limited by the Texas Commission of Environmental Quality and prohibiting the use of groundwater beneath the designated property as potable water. State law does require that I read the following statement. Pursuant to Section 51A-6.108G3 of the Dallas Development Code, the applicant or licensed representative of the applicant who is familiar with the application must be present and available to answer questions. With that individual, please step forward and identify yourself for the record.
My name is Sam Johnson. I'm a licensed Texas professional geologist. I'm familiar with the application and present to answer questions.
Thank you, sir. Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak on the item that was just read into the record? Any speakers on the item? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion, Ms. Grayson.
Thank you, Mayor. I'm going to move to close the public hearing and approve the ordinance that authorizes support of the municipal setting designation.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Thank you. We proceed now to addendum item number 12. This item will require 2 seconds of a statement read previously for item 73, 74, 75, and applicable to item number 76. This also applies to this item. Addendum item number 12 is a public hearing and a resolution granting a variance to the alcohol spacing requirements from the St. Mark's School of Texas, required by Section 6-4 of the Dallas City Code, to allow a wine and beer retailer's off-premise permit for a general merchandise or food store greater than 30,000 square feet on property on the southeast corner of Preston Road and Royal Lane. Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak on the item that was just read into the record? We do have an individual coming up to the podium. Sir, if you would please state your name and address for the record, you will be allowed 3 minutes to speak. Address your statements to Mayor Rawlings.
Mr. Mayor, members of the council, my name is Myron Dornick, 5026 Maple Springs Boulevard in Dallas. Here on behalf of the applicant, we'll be happy to answer any questions. I think we provided you information which shows that this meets your criteria. Thank you.
Are there any other individuals in the audience that would like to speak on the item? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion. Ms. Margolin.
Thank you, Mayor. This is an application for the central market that is coming into the Preston Royal Center where the old Borders bookstore used to be, and this variance will allow them to sell beer and wine. While their location is less than 300 feet from St. Mark's School, door to door, they're far more than 300 feet from St. Mark's School. And I have spoken with the headmaster at St. Mark's, who has absolutely no objection to this whatsoever, nor do members of the board. So I move approval.
We have a motion and a second. We need 2 seconds. We have 3. I live in the area. You think I could second, maybe? That's fine. That's fine. Let's have a discussion, Mr. Caraway.
Thank you. Thank you, Mayor. And thank you, Ms. Margolin, for your discussion and leadership on this. Let me say that I'm a fan and a shopper, avid shopper at Central Market. I do want you all to know this fantastic store. It can get pricey at times, but you get what you pay for. And certainly I do shop there. And I've looked at the way the store is set up and the way the store is run. And I think it's going to be a great addition to the mall over there. I would just encourage Central Market, that I'm just so excited and I'm waiting for that Central Market to come across that Trinity River to District 4. 5, 7, or 8. Well, just come on across over there. We'll figure it out. But I just wanted to say that in all fun and just gung-ho the support for this item. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you, Ms. Caraway. Ms. Hill.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I want to echo Mr. Caraway's comment. We want to encourage Central Market, I believe owned by HEB, to find its way south of the Trinity. Ms. Atkins and I have had this conversation previously. We're having it again, and we will continue to have this conversation. We were told previously that this grocer was not educated as to how to service that constituency. Come, and we will assist you in that educational process. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Hill. We have a motion in 2 seconds. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
That concludes your items, Mr. Mayor. We proceed now with your afternoon speakers. Your afternoon speakers will be Ozumba Lund, Gwen Wooten, Marvin Crenshaw, Robert Ceccarelli, Otis Fagan, Charles Goodwin, Charlene McCoy, Robert E. Jones, and Betty Colbreth. I will first recite the speaker guidelines. Citizens and other visitors attending the meeting of the City Council shall observe the same rules of propriety, decorum, and good conduct applicable to members of the City Council. Any persons making personal, impertinent, profane, or slanderous remarks or who become boisterous while addressing the City Council or while attending the City Council meeting shall be removed from the room if the Sergeant-at-Arms is directed by the presiding officer, and the person shall be barred from further audience before the City Council during that session of the City Council. Individuals, again, are allowed 3 minutes to speak. You will please address your comments to Mayor Rawlings. When the timer turns to zero, please stop speaking. Allow the next individual their turn. Again, your first speaker is Ozumba Lunk, not present, Gwen Wooten. Ms. Wooten will be followed by Marvin Crenshaw.
Good afternoon, City Council members. My name is Gwen Wooten. I'm a resident of Dallas. I want to know what a Dallas City charter is. I bought two of them and I ain't got none yet. Because y'all ain't doing nothing that the charter stay doing. So I'd like to have a copy of one of the charters that y'all have made up. Mayor, where the mayor? Right, I mean, Manzano. Whoever the mayor is, I want a charter. The charter says y'all supposed to have City Council meetings on Wednesday. Today is Monday. When was the notice given out for this meeting? The last meeting was last Wednesday. How many days do y'all have to give notice of these meetings? I called the Secretary's office this morning trying to find out how many votes y'all got to be representing 1.3 million people. It cost me $1.90 to find out how many votes y'all got. And all the information I wanted was about y'all. I didn't want no information about every county in this every region. And how did the city secretary's electoral department not understand that? Not only did she not understand that, she was upset with me because I don't have no computer. I don't like computers. I think they say I really believe they compete with the higher power. And I don't mess with them. I don't even touch them cell phones. I don't have call ID. So when I come down here and I want some information, I don't have to have no computer. Don't nobody ask me no if I have a computer when I go in the grocery store and buy a bottle of soda while they cost me $2 when I come out of there. Don't nobody ask me nothing like that. And she's a black woman. And there's not very many black people in that office. I mean, it's been turned kind of light. It's been light at the top everywhere around here. But I do want a city charter, Mayor Rawlings. And where is the seal? This seal is not on nothing. I have two charters. That seal ain't nowhere. And I want something. I mean, what's going on here? I've been here since 72 and I ain't never seen nothing like, I ain't never got in touch with nobody at the city secretary's office trying to get information. No white folks, no Hispanics, and a black woman gonna hang up in my face. I don't know what's wrong with her. I wanna know, you know, I'd like to have been a fly on the wall when Mary Sue had that meeting when she divided that sanitation truck. When she put the truck drivers and city staff and put the folks on the back of the truck working for, they say they work for Rob Miller, but I don't know, they say he owned the contract. But I'd like to know how many contracts do this woman, how many she done gave away? Well, how's she still making $250,000 a year and most of her departments is gone and that's her job to supervise departments and she privatizing everything. I want to know where a city charter is. I would like to read one. I would like one to look like a charter, not a briefing. Not your briefcases. I don't want no brief. I want a charter. And I want that seal on it. That's all I want for today, Mayor Rodney. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Wooden. I've been informed that they've got the information you need at the city secretary's office. So if you make your way back there, they'll give it to you.
I just told you. See, you wasn't listening. I paid $1.90 for information about y'all. I got information about every county in Dallas.
Thank you.
I don't need to know that. I really need my $1.50 back.
Thank you.
Your next speaker is Marvin Crenshaw.
Marvin Crenshaw, 5134 Malcolm X Boulevard. Today, marks sort of a landmark in the history of Dallas because of the fact on November 5th, 1991, the first election on the 14-1 was held. November 5th, 1991, which was about 20 years ago. And many people at that time thought that 14-1 would not last. There were people who were still wanting the 10-4-1 form of government and anything but 14-1. And one of the most ardent opposition to 14-1 came from Sandra Crenshaw. She fought 14-1 mind and soul, and at this present time, she still wants to get rid of 14-1, even though she was elected to the Dallas City Council in 1993 and served only one term until the voters of the District 8 said, well, you know, we're tired of you and you have to go. But I do want to just emphasize this, is that one of the things that happens when these situations occur is those who have been oppressed and who have been left out generally have a right to say that we want to elect someone of our own. And that happens. I don't care if it's African Americans. I don't care if it's Hispanics. I don't care if it's women who've been left out of the process and they're in a district where they have the controlling factors. That happened, and we have a right to say that. In some places, they don't ask. You know, they make sure that you're gone. So I just wanted to make that clear, and hopefully that we can have another 20 years of 14-1. Thank you.
Ms. Crenshaw.
Thank you. Your next speaker is Robert Ceccarelli. Not present. Otis Fagan. Otis Fagan will be followed by Charles Goodrum, Sterling McCoy, Robert E. Jones, and Betty Colbus.
Good evening, Council and Mayor. I have a prepared speech to read, but I'd like to change that, but I'd like to hand it in for the record to the mayor. So I will give that to her in the end.
Please.
My name is Otis Fagan, and I live at 2247 Scotland Drive, Dallas, Texas, 75216, telephone number 469-951-7784. As I say, I had a prepared statement to read, but my only request is, will the city of Dallas provide the community of West Dallas with access to the court-appointed attorney? Apparently, when we ask you all for that, and you look at us like, we have no clue as to what you're talking about. We're going to have 2,000 of the membership to come down and ask you. So I'll be coming every week just to supervise that they ask you that same question until the message began to take residence inside of your mind. You filed a lawsuit on behalf of the people, the city of Dallas and the state of Texas, representing attorney for them. You signed a petition to represent them, and the court granted you that petition. And what we're trying to figure out is why you would deny us access to our attorney. Now, we can't just walk in his office and take liberties. All we're asking is that you say it's okay to meet with the city attorney. Is that too complicated? Still have no response. Okay. But that's basically what I have to say. But you have a written copy of what I was going to go into, but this is just perplexing to us. So perhaps you all can give us a written response, since you can't give a verbal one. We'd appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Fagan. I will verbally respond to say I would like you to meet with our city attorney. Okay, he will meet with you. I think we have a difference of opinion on this. But once you get that opinion, I assume that's what you want, right?
Yes.
Okay. You'll meet, you'll understand where our differences are on this issue, and then we'll move on. Thank you for your diligence.
Thank you.
Your next speaker is Charles Goodrum. Charles Goodrum, not present. Sterling McCoy. Mr. McCoy will be followed by Robert E. Jones.
Yes, my name is Sterling McCoy. I live at 2420 Remont Trail, 75181. The case number is BC830680. Put this into record, if you would, please. The City of Dallas asked for a court order to be provided a court attorney. The question is, why the delay? I'm a member of the Clean Organization of Environmental Justice. Otis Fagan is the president. And I'm here to request from the Mayor and the City Council to expedite the process and provide the ruling to give us a court attorney that he may be able to go forward to be able to apply to the ruling which that the court ordered. I appeal to you, Mr. Mayor, and the City Council to move expeditiously to order us a court attorney, allowing him to assist us in denying us in the court. In reference to the housing, welfare, and public health, the city in action is forcing me into poverty. City in action is forcing me into pay my medical bill. The city in action is forcing me to pay my funeral costs. When the city abides by the law, the action is under the court and will be the cost of the City of Dallas of no charge to the court. Ordered by the above reference, which is covered by the trust fund, and which is of the Clean Environmental Justice, will be filed under the general general office of the Crime Victim Compensation, P.O. Box 12-198, Austin, Texas 78111. We will, when the city abides by the law is given by the court attorney, he or she will provide a court order attorney with no medical, with my medical expenses, my medical records will be provided by Appendix B, and that number is DC 83083. If you would, Mayor, I'd like for you to, I urge you to, Mayor, to recall the pledge to protect Dallas community. I will never vote for any neighborhood to be at risk for any particular money. Thank you, Mayor Rollins and the City Council.
Thank you.
Your next speaker is Robert E. Jones. Mr. Jones will be followed by Betty Colbert.
Mayor Rollins and to the City Council. My name is Robert E. Jones. I live at 4418 Ambassador Way, Box Spring, Texas, 75180. I'm here today. There's two things in my life that I'm proud of. One of them, I'm a born-again Christian. The other, to be associated with this fine man, Mr. Fagan, and the Clean Organization. In the invocation and in my prayer for you, Mr. Mayor, and for you, Council, I pray that you make prudent and wise decisions. What I don't understand is that you have a court order. We have elderly ladies in this organization. We have people who've been born with six fingers as a result of lead, people with birth defects. And yet, I find it amazing that we have a fine mayor, we have a council who represents their districts well, but we have a problem with this issue. I find that amazing that we have so many wise people, and you represent your, in my opinion, you represent your district well. Mr. Mayor, I think you do your job well, but yet this seems to be a problem. We got elderly ladies, fixed income, can't pay their bills, medical, housing, all this is a problem. But yet we pray to God to give you wisdom to do, just simply do the right thing with joy. Just a few minutes ago, I sat and watched how y'all came together to make a prudent decision to get things done for this city, but yet this issue is a problem. This issue is swept under the table, and it's amazing that we live in a wonderful city. My opinion, one of the best cities in the United States of America. And yet, we have this one issue that we sweep under the rug like it's nothing. And I've heard of people born, how it has affected their lives. Not only medical bills, not only a job, even myself. I've had a life, it don't look like it, but I've even had a life stroke. My health is affected, and it looks like my health has been affected in an adverse way. I used to work for the United States Postal Service. I've been laid off. My health has been affected. And yet, we have a wise mayor, prudent and a wise council, and this issue cannot be resolved. And I sat and almost cried with tears a minute ago that you all came together with joy and laughter and able to get issues done in the city of Dallas done. But yet when you come to this issue, it's been a fight. People have fought us, from attorneys to everybody, and we have a court order saying, just do the right thing. And it amazes me that this issue keeps getting swept on the table like it's nothing, like it's trash. God bless you. We hope you do the right thing. I'm not going to keep you. I'm not going to hold your time any longer.
Thank you.
Your final speaker this afternoon is Betty Colburn.
Thank you, Mayor Rollins and members of Dallas City Council. I don't often come down here, but I'm here today because of what I witnessed as you all went through the redistricting process. And sitting at home and watching you, my heart broke many times. Sometimes I had to just cut the TV off because I witnessed a divide, and I witnessed some mean-spirited conversations in that process. And I thought that maybe if I shared a historical perspective with you, if you go through this again, and I'm gone to glory, you will then keep the history of this situation and act a little bit better in your deliberations. In the 1840s, free slaves were given the right to vote under the 15th Amendment of the Constitution of the United States of America. Because those numbers were so great in some of the southern states, these people were elected to office and served until the former slave owners and other people in the areas decided that black men could not serve in public office. As a result of that, the Ku Klux Klan was organized to terrorize and kill and maim and beat black people and discourage them from voting. As a matter of fact, those people were turned out of office. Their white counterparts were elected to office, thus by putting laws and rules into effect that would prohibit black free people from participating in the registrant process. If you couldn't register, you of course could not vote. So the registrant process is the one that was messed with. There were six southern states who fought this adamantly and put in local rules to prevent black freed slaves from voting. Black free slaves from voting. There were local rules. They thought they had more power than the federal government had. So they put these local rules to prohibit black people from registering to vote. So therefore, they were not able to vote. These laws were struck down as a result of people in the street, bombing, killings of black folks, black kids, and everything. That was just a move. That wasn't a civil rights movement. That was a movement to allow black people to register to vote. Wasn't civil rights, register to vote. So people gave up their lives to register to vote. The 1965 Voters' Rights Act only gave protection to black people.
It wasn't until 1970 and 75. In 1970, it was amended to add Hawaiians, Pacific Islanders, Asians, and Native Americans, the protected class who were covered under the Voting Rights Act. In 1975, because a group of people felt that they were being discriminated or disenfranchised, they added language minorities. Hispanics, this is no disparagement, I'm just giving you history. Hispanic means a group of people of the same language origin being Spanish. Mexican Americans were not protected and did not cover the protection simply because English was their first language. It had nothing to do with your color, your race. It had to do, I'm just sorry, but I'll wrap up. Can I just have a minute?
Thank you.
It's for history, so we don't hate each other. They were not covered because English was their first language. It had nothing to do with being Puerto Rican, being El Salvadoran, or being Cuban. It had nothing to do with that. It was language was the reason they were added to the Voting Rights Act. I have no problem with any of this, but I want you to know historically, the only people in America who were discriminated against and disenfranchised were black people. Everybody else enjoyed everything that the white people enjoyed. That's why it's so frustrating, so heartbreaking. And you know when black people come here, regardless of what they're on, they're very emotional. Nobody liked us. Nobody. We were the only group of people in Dallas, Texas. I was born in Parkland Hospital, which was Woodlawn. My mother and me were in the basement. In the basement with appendicitis, with cancer, with whatever. All black people had to be in the basement. There was no other group of people in the basement. Hispanic people, or whatever you're saying, went to school with the white people. On their ideas that white of Hispanic origin. So let's stop fighting these battles. Let's try to treat each one like one. I'm alive today because I have a 42-year-old white man's kidney. Do you think when I was at Baylor, when they said he was 42 years and white, I was going to say, no, I don't want his kidney? No. Because that let me know that he and I were genetic matches on that computer. Don't you see how close we are as a people? Please, y'all, give some compassion and consideration. We don't have to be mean to one another.
Thank you.
Thank you, and thank you all for indulging me. I don't come often. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms.
Mayor. Mayor.
Yes, Mr. Caraway.
Before you adjourn the meeting.
Yes, Mr. Caraway.
Before you adjourn the meeting, I think Mayor, Ms. Cadane. Ms. Cadane.
I'm here.
There's a birthday going on.
We got a birthday today.
To Ms. Culbert's thing about
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Harley. Happy birthday to you.
Thank you, Mr. Caraway. Happy birthday, Ms. Medrano. Thank you for the speakers. That's beautiful. I love German chocolate. Meeting is adjourned, 3:22. Thank you.